Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Who charted?
It's time for episode 675 of Who Charted, the show where comedians and me discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. We are just days away from Checkpoint Santa. I am your reluctant host for today, Brett Starred, BPM Morris. Not joining us today, you may have noticed, because of the flu, is Mr. Howard Kramer. But the charts go on, and helping me count them down is one of our favorite guests. It's Mr. Will Hines.
Hey, what's going on, Brett?
Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, I'm psyched. I'm sad that Howard can't be here. I'm sure our listeners are too, but we wish him well. We'll try to do him right in his stead.
We wish him well. And you know what? If you're sick, you shouldn't have to podcast. Like we should normalize the idea of you know, sick podcast hosts. You don't hear that much of like
there's no shame. You know, you need days off.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, there might not be a two charted this week if, you know, he's feeling bad this week and he's not up for it.
I got to say, this is the right time of year for weeks off. Like, I think one thing that is normalized is time off for the holidays.
Right.
And I think maybe that could reach even into the lowly realm of podcasting.
Yeah.
You know,
traditionally, that has not been normalized for podcasting in my experience.
That's right.
As I've had to hustle out, you know, 20 different podcasts for the holidays I get some time off.
You don't think it's fair that you do 4 months worth of work in a week so you can have 1 week off?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't think that's fair?
I think it is becoming more normal though, and I'm glad to see it, especially as we take the helm of our own podcast and just like, you know what? For Christmas, let's put out a rerun. Like who cares?
People do it.
Yeah.
People do it.
So anyway, you're the perfect co-host for today.
Thank you.
I
love this show. I'm a Who Charted super fan. I love music podcasts and people who talk about music and movies. You know, analyzing media in general. That's one of my favorite types of podcasts.
Absolutely. And you might know us talking together from the Screw It. We're just going to talk about the Beatles podcast.
That's
your
right.
podcast. And so we might be relating things to the Beatles more than your usual Who Charted, but or not.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. Let's do it.
Absolutely. And all right, let's get into the music chart.
Okay, great. I'm going to try to do this
and,
right.
I figured since I'm hosting, I'm not going to take Howard's words as my own. So I figured,
out of respect.
Out of respect. So I will attempt to perform my own history of music here.
Incredible.
Here we go. Music. We used to play with sticks. Harpsichords, fugal horns, then guitar picks. Now we play on digital synths. What's next? Brain chips. Tunes.
That was pretty good.
That's not bad.
That was way better than I expected.
It's an alternative history of music.
Also, it had a little Brett Morris spin to it, you know, kind of maybe a bit more technically leaned than Howard tend, you know.
Right.
Howard's more spiritual and emotional, but Brett, you're the producer and the studio musician. So you're gonna get into the mechanics of actually saying things so like it's sticks.
Less funny, more technical, which is definitely a winning combination.
That's what people want from comedy. Their comedy podcast.
Yeah.
I wish that comedy podcast was more technical.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of the main charts, like the Spotify chart and iTunes and everything, are just all classic Christmas right now. So I'm kind of skipping that over. And I figure let's do some iHeartRadio alternative rock to have some fun today. The top five alternative rock songs. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
Cannons with Loving You.
Okay, let's see.
First thing that sticks out to me is that this is classified as alternative rock.
Yeah.
What this is almost like disco or something.
Yeah, what makes it alternative rock? There is a guitar in it.
Yeah.
Maybe that just means like there was no budget to produce it.
Yeah. Probably has to do with just who they're sort of associated with, who they tour with.
Yeah, just
what scene they're in, what label they're in. Cannons, I've never heard of them. Maybe this is a departure for them, you know?
The whistling at the top, all whistling in songs reminds me of that Peter Bjorn and John song where they whistle, whatever that one was called. Yeah. Young Folks, I think it was called.
What's the whistle part? Can you whistle it?
Oh, God. No, I can't remember. I had it until you just said it.
You can whistle, though.
Yeah. But whenever I try to think of whistling in songs, I can only think of John Lennon's Jealous Guy.
Oh, that's right. He does whistle.
He whistles in that, yeah.
He's got a very high register whistle.
He's for real.
You know, but there's also, you got Guns N' Roses' Patience. It's a classic whistle.
Oh, right. I can't remember that. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And then you got Dock of the Bay.
Oh, sure. That's it.
Sitting
on
the dock. Maybe the most.
That might be the most iconic whistle.
Iconic whistle, maybe.
But Young Folks, the one that I cannot remember right now, that's the most iconic of like this century, I think.
Okay.
Do you know the song I'm talking about?
I don't. I think I've. Somebody think I will there. When I hear it. What's it called?
Young Folks.
Oh yeah, Bjorn and John. Oh yeah,
and this has. I did not remember there was such a long intro.
Oh, of course.
And that the same amount of echo they have on it is what Cannon did. So to me, that's like the classic indie rock whistle.
Right, that's a definite iconic indie rock thing. Like this song represents an entire era of indie rock that I kind of missed at the time.
Yeah.
Or
also like, the hand claps in this Cannon song sound like the Men in Black hand claps.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So, this is one of those songs that is just in my life somehow, and I've heard it 100 times, but I don't know exactly when and where. Yeah. Young folks.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if it was officially like a car commercial song, but it was one of those that for some reason.
I think it maybe was.
When it came out, everybody just wanted it.
Yeah.
When I first heard it, I was like, oh, that's a totally fine song. And then it was like everywhere. And I was like, man, this was just what people wanted this year. Anyway, maybe that'll happen to the fine people in Cannons.
The other whistle I can think of is Scorpions' Winds of Change. that's a much more like profound whistle because he's like He's whistling at the fall of the Berlin Wall in that one. You know that song, right?
Yes, but I can't recall it.
I think
Scorpions, the only things I can immediately call are Rock Me Like a Hurricane and Still Loving You.
This is like the really deep ballad song for Germany.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yes.
Yeah. Also a very high-pitched whistle.
They brought in a pro whistler.
Try to get that note. It's really funny.
To have whistling in a heavy metal song.
Yeah. I always think like in a whistle part, it would be so hard to get through live kind of without laughing.
The pressure would be so
crazy. The second you crack when you're whistling, it's over. Yeah. Okay, coming in at number four.
Number four.
I never know how to say this. Maneskin or Måneskin.
Okay.
Måneskin, do you know them?
I don't.
This is Honey, Are You Coming?
Good heavens.
Okay.
So am I just too old? Everything, it sounds good. It sounds good. But like everything sounds like it could also have come out 20 years ago. Exactly.
Totally.
Like that's a really good song, but it kind of sounds a little like either Queens of the Stone Age or maybe like even I'm thinking the Libertines, the Pete Doherty group from Great Britain. And it's just sort of like post Blur kind of.
Right. There's definitely a period, like I would say after 99 or so. Like,
yeah.
Once the 2000s came, there's this template of what sort of hard rock, like a straight down the middle hard rock song on the radio sounds like.
Yeah.
That I've never been a big fan of. And
it's very compressed and sort of just like.
Yeah.
Contained.
And the way the riff goes and then the vocals go over it and then the structure of it, all of it just feels like very much it could all come out in the same year post the year 2000. And usually just bums me out. I don't love it. Yeah.
It's all like heavy. Every beat is hit real hard.
Yes. The drums are all like triggered sounds for the most part, like in the studio. So they're just
Everybody in the band had like five cups of espresso before they started playing, gritted their teeth and just like.
They did that one song. I think they're Italian. And they did that song that was kind of everywhere a couple years ago. It was called Beggin'. You ever heard this one?
No, I don't know this.
This one was, to me, a lot cooler. And I think it might be a cover of like a 60s song. But
that one had more groove, I guess. That one had like a little more move. I know you're a big dance guy.
I gotta dance. Yeah, anytime. It was funny. It's like obviously like not a big dance guy, but you do need music to like make you want to move, at least in your head. Like in my head, I'm grooving.
It's better when that happens for sure. Yeah.
I mean, all rock and roll started out as dance music. Like that was dance. That's what teens dance to. That was
gather in this room and we will make sounds that make you all dance together.
Yeah. If you get too far removed from that, I don't know if it works.
Yeah. Although as a fan of They Might Be Giants, I also like very square mechanical music box sounding melodies. But yeah, dance, I'll give it to you. Dance is a big part.
I got to say when I saw them live earlier this year.
The Hollywood Bowl.
They had so much energy. I could see people dancing to that. Like they
can
the
rock.
Horns That's... going. They were rocking out. I was actually really surprised by just how thrilling it was live.
I was at that show too. They opened for Sparks, and I think they were kind of trying to prove a point, like, we deserve to be at the Hollywood Bowl. We can rock this place.
Yeah.
Even though it was like 4 p.m. or whatever time it was.
Yeah, it was always tough for an opener. Yeah, they were so good. And by the way, you mentioned Queens of the Stone Age. I just saw them on Saturday night.
And how was it?
I've seen them many times. This was, I think, the best I've ever seen them. They sounded
really
incredible. They were so good.
What do you think it was? Just the holidays got them going? Or
yeah, they're so excited for Christmas. I don't know. I think they're just so seasoned as a band, and the songs are all there now to fill out an entire set list of just like really good songs, and they have all the tones dialed in. Like they're so full of like really interesting guitar tones that, I mean, we talk about like generic rock sound. They're the one band I feel like that has managed to just make new rock and roll sound like always fresh and cool, and it's swaggering without sounding cheesy or like dad rock or anything. Like they somehow just nail it. I don't know, but they just perfectly executed what they do. A great light show. They were just on fire.
That's awesome. I'd love to hear that. I mean, it is crazy that every band that tours like should be getting better, right? Like they're practicing all the time just by playing.
I always think that like people always make fun of like Lars Ulrich, like his drumming skills.
Yeah.
And I always think that, like, how do you play like 300 shows a year for 40 years and not just physically get better at your instrument? Yeah, it's so odd to me.
Yeah.
I think that proves that we all just kind of, in the same way that people are sort of born with a natural talent, but then you develop it.
Yeah.
I feel like people might also have like a natural ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, that you just,
well, I've been practicing guitar for 3 years and I have improved almost not at all. So that maybe me and Lars Ulrich are kind of the same.
I feel like I got pretty good fast, but then you definitely hit these plateaus that,
yeah,
unless you really systematically work your way out of them, you can kind of just sit there for a long time.
Yeah.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Fall Out Boy. Oh my God. With We Didn't Start the Fire.
What?
Cover? They covered this. I think we listened to a little bit of it on a previous episode.
How did this happen? What?
Good question. Oh, and I think they updated the lyrics to have all sorts of new news items. You're a big Billy Joel fan too, right?
I am, but like, yeah, this is the worst song he ever did.
I can't wait for your reaction to this. Wait, first, I have to pause it right there.
It's new right away. They start with new stuff. They're kind of picking up where the song left off, I think.
The first line is Captain Planet, though.
Captain, like,
is that
Planet
worthy of just starting out with a bang?
People.
It goes Captain Planet, Arab Spring, L.A. Riots, Rodney King. All of those are important events, except maybe I would argue Captain Planet.
But wait, isn't Arab Spring in 2010?
Yeah, also totally out of order, I think.
Yeah, like,
and also Rodney King started that event started the L.A. Riots. So
that's redundant.
Those are flipped around, if anything.
Right, Rodney King is technically first.
Yeah.
All right, we got a lot of notes.
Let's keep going. King, deep fakes,
earthquakes, Iceland volcano. Earthquakes.
Okay, deep fakes before earthquakes.
Also, deep fakes is 2020. Like,
yeah, that's now.
Billy Joel respected a chronology. That's why Billy's the master.
Yeah.
Like, Fall Out Boy, come on, you got to get these things in chronological order.
And I get it. It's hard. I had to write the music chart.
I was going
to
say,
and it was already like breaking my brain a little bit.
But you respected the challenge more than these guys.
I had to jump from sticks to harpsichords and then to guitar picks.
Yours is in chronological order.
I maintained a chronology to that, though.
I don't respect this cover.
Okay. This is just... if anything, this should just be like, you know what? This is for the fans. They should have like a Fall Out Boy Patreon. And this could be like a little bonus fun for the fans to geek out on. This should not be on the charts.
I mean, it should be a Billy Joel Patreon, right? Like, why do the Fall Out Boy fans want that? They got the same synth, Patreon. Though, right? It's the same synth tone from the original Billy Joel. Right? That's the same, I think. Or really
It's very close. Yeah, they're not really
they didn't change
doing
that
their
much.
Own spin on it. Okay, moving on.
Oh, my God.
Coming in at Kurt number two.
Cobain Pokemon.
Yeah. Monsanto GMOs.
Well, all over the place.
All right.
But that song's number three?
That's number three.
Well, I guess that's all that people want. People just want lists.
I mean, can't blame them. This whole show is based on lists. So I can't criticize list-based things too much on Who Charted. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Green Day, American Dream is Killing Me. I think I've heard a little bit of this. And eyewitnesses are even claiming people have
turned into... Don't love that one. Up next, the highly anticipated new single from Green Day. This is The American Dream is Killing Me.
You know, they're just like a songwriting, like power pop machine at this point. Like
it is pretty impressive how good the melodies are out of Green Day.
Yes,
like, he just has that magic thing that. Speaking of Billy Joel definitely had it. Rivers Cuomo has it. Like Paul Simon has it. Some people can just always concoct a melody that is like pretty sticky in your brain.
Very catchy. It seems like. American Idiot Part 2. Like, I'm a little surprised that they're doing this thing again.
Of all the Green Day catalog, I can't believe that they're like, what people liked from us is when we'd make commentary.
Yeah.
What they want more of all the things we've done, they liked it when we tried to get serious and call out America.
It's so...
What's the name of this one again?
It's so odd. American Dream is Killing Me.
Oh, that's so lame.
It's lame.
There's like the type of protest that like good looking people in college, I feel like, do, which is like the best looking person on your floor, whether it's physically attractive or just physically charismatic, who like sitting around at a party is like, you know, if you think about it, capitalism is the problem with everything. And you want to be like, it's not that you're wrong. It's just that that isn't such an amazing thought that you're having.
Right, exactly.
And I feel like Green Day is the epitome of like, we're going to call out corruption. It's like, well, nobody's for corruption.
And also the best kind of, you know, punk is obviously traditionally sort of commentary music.
Yeah.
It's political. But I feel like to have it be believable, you have to just sort of be coming from like a cooler place, you know, like.
You mean like their life and stuff?
Yeah. Like you're sort of also selling this wild lifestyle. And you're on stage and there's mosh pits and
like
and
it's like the Sex Pistols.
You're greasy and young and partying. And so that's cool. The commentary is sort of like biting, but it's not really coming from a super righteous place. Like it's usually just like, this shit sucks. Like
youthful energy, just like I'm fed up. I'm tired of being young and without power.
Yeah. When it gets like too clean, it becomes lame.
Maybe they need to... You know, get more into it and get more detailed and sophisticated, you know, call out specific congressional bills, certain voting blocks.
It is tough. Like, I wonder, going back to the Beatles, all that, like in the 60s, it was the level of protest and the level of lyrical sentiment. Like, there's no, nobody thought anything was too corny. It's all just like, let's all love each other. And then everyone loves that. I feel like if somebody just said that on air now, it would be called cheesy and corny.
Yeah, there was a certain amount of earnestness that like Peter, Paul, and Mary could just sing like a folk song about peace and everyone would just like fall over.
Right.
I guess you can only do it once, I guess, you know. But also maybe if young, maybe it is youth, like when Bob Dylan's first albums where he, you know, like singing Masters of War and Blowing in the Wind and stuff, or the times they are a changing. He was like 21 when he did that, right? Or 22. Oh my God.
That makes me want to just jump off a bridge. Can you imagine being just that poignant at 21, writing such good songs that are just are weighty and serious, and they still feel like, I still listen to those songs and I'm like, damn, that's really deep, you know? And then I'm like, that's a 21-year-old kid telling me that.
He just, you know, he just had a, he had a neck.
Now they'd just be talking about like chuginess or whatever. Yeah.
American Dream is too chuggy for me.
Too chuggy, yeah. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Blink 182.
What?
One More Time. Yeah.
What?
Strangers, from strangers into brothers, from brothers into strangers once again. We saw the whole world, but I couldn't see the meaning. I couldn't even recognize my friends.
Wow. This sounds horrible, right? I mean, they've really never clicked with me. It's actually funny because I remember when they first came out thinking, what are you guys like? This is just Green Day. Like, this is poor man's Green Day.
I mean, once again, I'm just going to pull the old man card, but like, throughout the 90s, like, first there was Nirvana, which was like this like seismic changing sort of mesh of punk rock and a little bit of sort of metal kind of.
Right. And it was anti.
It exploded.
Anti-complexity in that way. Where that paved the way for all, songs now having three or four chords.
Cracked open this whole new era.
Yeah.
Then Green Day came out and it was like Nirvana's happy little brother, which was still legit and great, but kind of happy and sort of a bit more juvenile.
Right. But, singing about jacking off.
Yeah, but it felt like it was sort of a reduced version of Nirvana. And then Blink, it was like they were all photocopies of each other. And then like Blink 182 was like, well, if Green Day was too complicated for you.
Yeah.
And you need a dumber version of Green Day.
Right.
We'll go even more dumb and juvenile and simple.
Yeah. You still like that sort of that snotty teenager voice singing songs to you, but.
It was like, never mind, to Dookie, to Damn It. It was like all just getting dumber and dumber, but all still sort of catchy and fun and good.
Yeah.
Blink 182 was like the most reduced of them to me. I was like, you can't get simpler than this without just becoming like a MIDI version of a Saturday morning cartoon theme song.
Though I will say, like, I was wrong in the sense that at the time I really thought that this is just like a copycat kind of thing, lesser than thing. And then they've become, for a certain generation, they've become the ultimate nostalgia act and deeply meaningful, like Blink 182 for a lot of people I know.
People definitely burst into tears at a Blink 182 song just out of nostalgia. I am not one of them.
I'm not one of them. It's interesting though that now they're number one and Green Day is number two. At least this week.
They finally surpassed the master.
Finally did. Something about the sound.
But Kurt Cobain lives on in the lyrics of a Fall Out Boy song. So Nirvana, you can't get rid of Nirvana either.
All right. That's the state of alternative rock on the charts, at least. There's a lot of good alternative rock out there, but you know, I think it's the same for all charts. It's like the dinosaurs at this point. Blink-182 and Green Day are like dinosaurs.
Absolutely.
And they're still on top. So
this is the thing that they once destroyed. Like the late 80s was all the 60s bands were still hanging on to everything, like Rolling Stones and Steve Winwood and even the Moody Blues had a song in the 80s. And then Nirvana came and like blew them all away. Like they suddenly were more irrelevant than they had ever been. And now it's that generation that's hanging on. Okay. I mean, the Breeders just came through LA like 2 months ago.
Oh, did you see it?
Early 90s. No, I missed it.
Okay.
I saw Liz Phair. I saw the Postal Service. So I've seen a lot of sort of like 90s and 2000s.
Is that why you asked me about Liz Phair the other day? I feel like you asked me something about Liz Phair and then I wasn't ever sure like why or what.
I almost thought I had a ticket. So I was like, do you like Liz Phair?
Because
my girlfriend almost was like, I think I'm too tired to make it to this concert. And I was like, all right, Brett Morris, your lucky day is
nice
coming in. But then she said, you know what? I can do it. So you missed out.
I missed out.
But I did a preliminary sort of check with you. Like,
I feel like the check was like, what does Liz Phair mean to you or something like that.
Yeah, are you worthy of this ticket?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to waste this on you if you're like, she sucks.
Yeah, I didn't know a ticket was at hand.
Yeah, I should have told you.
No, it's all good. Okay, that does it for the music charts. And we will be right back with the movies.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back to Who Charted. I got my friend Will Hines here. Will.
Hello, everybody.
Would you like to count down the movie chart with me?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't
wait. All right. Would you like to hear my spin on the movie chart theme?
Oh, yes. You did one for this too?
Hopefully it's technical. And a little less fun.
It better not be funny. It better be sterile and technically complicated.
Yeah. Movies. You just can't lose. Watch them at home and take off your shoes. Make them too long and then I'll snooze. Isn't it weird they still have Tom Cruise? Movies.
Wow. That's a hot take buried in there.
Little commentary.
Yeah, you went after the big gun, the Top Gun.
Incredible. It's not wrong, though. It is weird.
It is weird that
it's weird that he's sort of not allowed in society anymore, but he is allowed on the biggest possible stage. You know,
and beloved there,
and it's still a hit movie. And I watch it, so I'm full of shit. Like, I'm the hypocrite too.
Yeah,
we all watch Tom Cruise.
I have no morals, but it is weird that he was a huge star in like 1986, and he is still a huge star. Like that is crazy.
And we all kind of openly know that he knows where some bodies are buried.
Sure,
in a massive cult.
But I guess I assume that everybody rich and powerful has some strange knowledge that I'm looking the other way.
That's probably true too.
Maybe not every, but like that. Lots of rich and famous people. I don't know.
Not a lot of fans know about your conspiracy theories. This is
maybe time for them going, to come out.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I think that Julia Roberts is behind inflation. I can't think of a good one.
I believe it.
Yeah.
All right, coming in number five.
Number five.
This is Trolls. Let's see, what's it called? Trolls Band Together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Right.
Branch's brother.
What?
Ow. Former brother.
Grab him. Corn me, Dinkle.
It's hard to say I'm sorry.
A brother is a friend who can never leave you. It's the strongest bond in the world. I would kill to have a sibling to sing with.
Check out your old outfits.
Puffy jacket? Puka shell necklaces? Denim tuxedo?
Did you have frosted tips?
Ah! Look at you. You were so cute. I love it.
It was an era.
Tragic.
I don't know about this one.
I mean, it's definitely not for me. Right? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I've seen this trailer a number of times in the theater. Do kids like it? I guess kids just need,
I don't know,
constant noise. I mean, to me, it just is like constant yelling and percussive slams and zings. And I'm like, I get
so many zings.
That trailer exhausts me.
And same personality. That's what I keep saying. It's like all these movies have the same personality, and the characters all have the same personalities, where there's the kind of like eyebrow raise and a little zinger.
Yeah, the quirky, like, get a load of this.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to believe that I can sound, you know, cool.
Yeah.
I, a toy, can sound dismissive.
I feel like kids usually, I remember being a kid and it was like, I don't feel like you have the bandwidth for like 100 kid movies a year, you know? Like, you kind of want to obsess over one or two.
Yeah, they need one for like 6 months.
Yeah. Or even the rest of your life.
Right. You know? And then you write a parody of a Billy Joel song and yeah, the first lyric is the cartoon you loved as a kid.
Right.
It's just like Trolls is like the Blink 182 version of Minions or something like that. Like, Minions is to Trolls what Green Day is to Blink 182 or something like that.
I think that feels right.
Okay. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that makes sense.
I'll get back to you.
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Godzilla Minus One. This one I did see in the theaters. And it was long, but it was awesome.
I've heard it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen all of the, not nearly all of the Godzilla movies, but not even the recent ones. But I did go to this one. Something about it seemed like it was going to be good, and it really was. It was like back to the beginning, the true, like, sort of like meaning of Godzilla as a World War II creation of man. Almost, it was like the evil of World War II manifesting as this beast, rather than like a sort of just like a silly monster fighting Mothra or whatever.
Yeah. There's been a lot of Godzilla movies in the last, like, or just, there's been a lot of Godzilla in the last, like, 5 years in different areas. TV shows and movies and stuff. But I heard this one's great. So the trailer looked good. I love just the Japanese title card is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very Japanese, too, in the way that you would hope it is. Like, for some reason, the title, Minus One, made me think I was going to watch this sort of edgy, almost like Americanized version, and it wasn't at all. It felt like deeply Japanese in a really cool way.
All right, thumbs up.
Do you watch Monarch? I think it's on.
Yeah,
Apple.
That's what I was thinking of. I haven't watched it, but I hear it's really cool.
I have heard that's really good.
Yeah,
or Matt Besser speaks highly of it. At least
so does my brother. That's two friends of ours.
Two friends. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't think the movie is related to Monarch at all, but it's kind of weird to have two Godzillas at the same time, but whatever.
It'd be like a Sherlock Holmes movie coming out while Elementary's on TV or something. It feels
like yeah.
I wonder if anybody's going to relate to anything I say this whole episode. but okay.
I love Sherlock Holmes. I think there should just be way more Sherlock Holmes stuff in general.
I'm down.
But like old stuffy British Sherlock Holmes, like nothing cool at all.
Right. I say.
Like, yeah, it should just all be analysis and like impossible logic that he's seeing.
Crazy observations.
Yes.
Ah, the waft of tobacco on your shoe means that you recently were on Chapel Hill Road or whatever.
I'm a sucker for that. There should be way more. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
The Boy and the Heron.
Mm.
Mahito.
So, you made it.
This is Miyazaki.
Mother.
Have a seat.
It's this way, Mahito.
A lot of strange things happen in this place.
Join us. I just hope he stays safe.
Miyazaki's first feature film in 10 years. The Boy and the Heron is a hand-drawn original story written and directed by the Academy Award-winning director. Features an English voice cast, Christian Bale, Dave Bautista, William Dafoe's in there, Mark Hamill.
Yeah, Pattinson.
Interesting.
Yeah. Have you seen any Miyazaki movies before? Have you seen Spirited Away or Howl's Moving Castle?
I think is Spirited Away the one like in the 80s? No.
No, it was 2000s, I think.
I saw one, I think it was, Totoro. I saw My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah.
Totoro. My nieces love that and they showed it to me and it was really good. Like
Is it Kiki's Delivery Service? No, My Neighbor Totoro. They're both, I think. I think they're both Totoro things. But I'm not an expert on Miyazaki, and he's somebody where like he's got a lot of like super fans who like I love everything of his that I've seen. I'm not at the level where I run out and see it because it's usually like 4 hours, and it's almost like too beautiful for me. I get sort of like I get sort of lulled into this like serene state where I almost like fall asleep while I'm loving it. Really.
Yes.
And also, from what I remember, other Miyazaki movies, like the plot is crazy and it's more just like cool visual sequence after cool visual sequence. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with that for like a movie. But when you try to summarize the story of a movie, it's like, well, this boy was lost. And so a pig that was also a stop sign gave him a ride into a pot full of eyes that were love or something. And it's like, what happened?
It's very like imaginative. All I've seen is Totoro and it was exactly like that. And it was like,
I saw Spirited Away in the
super
movies.
Creative.
It was like, I've never seen anything like it. It was so, it was moving and beautiful in a way that I sort of didn't expect, but isn't this movie like 10 hours long or something? I hate to be like, it's like 4 hours or something, but I've heard that even for him, this one's weird. Like
really?
A friend of mine who's a super fan of his stuff is like, this one's weird. I'm like, this one's weird?
How long is it? Now I really want to know.
And I guess Pattinson plays a sort of a character that you wouldn't think of as Robert Pattinson if you've just seen him in Twilight and like Good Time and stuff. Like it's a very like goofy sort of wisecracking or something like that. It's some sort of like personality that's not very Pattinson, but I guess he does terrific.
Okay.
People are like surprised that he could do it, I guess.
Right. I was surprised at how much I liked his Batman. I was ready to really not care for that one. And I like that movie.
That movie looks great. I mean, he's great in it. I was a little tired by the end of Batman. I was like, man, is there anything fun in Gotham City? This place sucks. Like this place is so sad. But
I guess I felt like the aesthetic was, I didn't really care for like the Christian Bale ones. Like the aesthetic of it was just too real life.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I want a little comic bookiness. I want it to feel gothic and
right. This one felt more like art decorated and kind of stylized.
Yeah. I think I need a little of that. This movie, by the way, is 2 hours, 4 minutes. So,
That's not so bad. I was wrong. 2 hours. That's a standard drama length.
Standard drama. It's not even a Scorsese length.
Yep. I was wrong. I was wrong to be smirched.
Okay. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
We're live!
Mr. Snow, after everything you've seen out there in the world, what are the Hunger Games for?
Peter Dinklage.
And who's the main guy?
Who is the main guy?
Well, I don't know. He looks like the Mentalist. Who is this?
Tom Blythe.
Oh, okay.
Rachel Zegler.
So this is the Woody Harrelson character, but like back in time or something?
Oh, is it? I don't even know enough to know that.
So I've only seen the first two Hunger Games.
Is it a prequel?
Yeah, it's a prequel. It's like the birth of the Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah. 64 years before Katniss.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it kind of looks like the MTV reboot of the Hunger Games. It's like Jennifer Lawrence, not cool enough. We're going to rock and roll up the Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's weird just to even be in a period where Hunger Games is getting a reboot. Because that just seems like a modern era franchise to me. But I remember surprisingly liking the first one more than I thought I would. And sort of planning to watch the sequels, but never getting around to it.
I saw the first two, and I did enjoy them, but I also was like, I mean, I know this is like, they bum me out. Like, I mean, it's in this bleak world where people have to kill each other for sport.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know if I'm excited to watch a bunch of people murder each other. Like, I'm just,
I remember,
even in this like kind of popcorn YA sort of environment.
I'm right.
Like, I don't know.
I remember in the first one, it really is a hurdle to get over where you're going like, this society is just okay with like killing kids, like kids. Okay. Like you just have to accept somehow that this is the way it works in this society.
But Green Day would just be like, think about it, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the American dream, dude. That's it. It's already
happening.
That's
where it's going. Yeah.
We might as well be doing that, dude. With Instagram. You just any social media property.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me, dude? Are you with Threads?
With Friendster,
with Threads,
dude?
The way Threads is going, dude?
Yeah. I don't think I'll be seeing this one. But coming in at number one.
Number one.
Wonka.
Oh, what are these reboots?
This is seven years
traveling the world, perfecting my craft. You see, I'm something of a magician, inventor, and chocolate maker. So quiet up and listen down. Nope, scratch that, reverse it.
Mr. Wonka, I can see you're a man of great ingenuity.
What are you doing?
I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it? Dark, white, nutty, absolutely insane.
Many people have come here to sell chocolate. They've all been crushed by the chocolate cartel. You can't get a shop without selling chocolate. And you can't sell chocolate without a shop.
No daydreaming.
What are we going to do, Willy?
So this is a Wonka origin story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just what we needed. Right? Why did he get obsessed with chocolate? Why did he build this crazy place?
Yeah, I like the movie. I just need to know how he got here. God, I hate to be a grouch, but it's weird to be nostalgic for something that I don't believe the audience will have seen, right? Like, scratch that, reverse it. That's the Gene Wilder line, right? From the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Right.
So to do it is kind of like an Easter egg for who? For me? And like, I mean, it can't be for the fans of Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, you would think it would actually be targeted to older people.
Yeah.
It's like, don't you want to go back?
I've heard, but I think this is the guy who directed Paddington and Paddington 2.
Yes.
Which were really fun movies, really like charming and lovely films that are really enjoyable. So he's really good. So maybe that'll have some of that Paddington magic. I've heard this movie is very nice, is the word I heard used to describe it.
Nice.
That's just such a
funny motivation to see a movie.
Just what I said, right? The Hunger Games is so bleak and everybody murders each other. And like, here's a movie that's like, nothing bad will happen.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's going to be hugging constantly. So some movies are made to give you a nervous breakdown, and some movies are meant to make you feel good after a nervous breakdown.
It's funny thinking back, because we just saw Gremlins, a screening of Gremlins for our friend Katie Plattner's birthday.
Yes.
And it's a movie that was basically for kids, but it was not, there's parts that were just not nice in that way that like 80s movies.
Yeah, there's some brutality in Gremlins.
Yeah.
And some like meanness and some just straight up kids ruining of Christmas for right. kids.
And like needlessly, like that girl's like backstory she just randomly goes into, very needlessly paints this picture of her dad dying in as Santa. Yeah. And then that's how she learned that Santa doesn't exist. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. If I was like, if you're a kid watching that, that's pretty.
A weird, pretty brutal hard. Story. Yeah. That also ruins Santa Claus.
Yeah.
But, and the director was there, and Joe Dante, and he even said, I was asked a million times to cut that scene and I wouldn't do it. And I'm sitting there being like, I don't know. I think you should have cut it.
Maybe you should have.
I think you should have cut it. But the movie was a success. So what do we know?
That was really interesting having him there. And I thought it was kind of a cool little story about Spielberg, like that, you know, Spielberg sort of gave him the script to work on and didn't necessarily have that much to do with the movie, but he did say like, hey, that puppet is really cute. Like you should just have that main puppet Gizmo be there the whole movie. Cause I guess originally Gizmo just turns into a gremlin within like half an hour. Yeah. And he's like, that one piece of Spielbergian advice, which makes so much sense, is just like, keep the cute thing the whole movie and the kids will be with you forever.
It's true.
And it's true.
It's the, as our friend Katie said, it's the Baby Yoda effect. Like the puppet is just so adorable and irresistible that it like powers the movie kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made me wonder whether Gizmo was partially based on the original Yoda. And then Baby Yoda is so clearly based on Gizmo, or, you know, it's like this weird.
You can't help but compare
them. Incestuous. Yeah.
And that's what we think of Wonka.
All right. Yes, exactly. Go watch Gremlins, though. It holds up, I think. It's a fun movie. And that does it for the movie charts.
Woo!
We'll be right back with the hot picks. You ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks.
This is the hot picks. I almost forgot to just talk there. I forgot that I'm hosting today after hearing Howard's voice on that theme song.
You just assumed beta position.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is where we count down our own recent songs we've been digging or we just want to highlight in some way.
Yeah.
Could sometimes even be cold picks where they're just so bad they're worth talking about. Those are fun too.
But I got only hot picks today.
We'll see whether we beat the iHeartRadio alternative rock chart.
Yeah.
I think we got a good chance. Okay, coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is my pick. This is Ty Segall with My Room.
Okay.
Ty Segall has a new album coming out. I don't know if you've heard much of him, but he's just, you know, they tease songs. I think he's released three now from it. And the first two I've just absolutely loved, like, so much. I think you would like them too. And I haven't listened to this one as much, but I'm guessing it's good. Called My Room.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so cool.
He's great.
I love that. Is this stuff all like homemade? Is that all just like self-produced?
I think so. I've like been meaning to know more about him. I think he is from San Francisco. And all of his stuff has a sort of homemade quality, but like he's just kind of this genius who makes his own stuff. And it always sounds cool and almost in the vein of like what I... Almost like a Jack White type, you know, but in more to my taste, I would say, than Jack White is. Like, he has, you know, 60s influences. Like,
I feel bad saying this person's name. You know, Jay Retard? Like,
no.
R-E-A-T-A-R-D.
Okay.
But he was like a Matador guy who like made, I think he was like a one-man operation.
Uh-huh.
And it was similarly like, you know, blues rock guitar drum stuff, but like... made himself, mm-hmm. but rather than sound lo-fi, it just sounded like White Stripesy, like sort of minimalist, but not amateurish.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. It reminds me, these songs remind me of that a lot.
Totally.
Like, but like just kind of bedroom rock, but like not quiet.
Yeah. And there's all like really, there's just,
that guitar tone was great. I love the way that guitar sounded.
Something about each track that is just very interesting. Like he's doing, and it's cool. It has good taste with all the little pieces there.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like clunky. It's like purposely a little clunky, but it's always creative. And it's just like there's these sharp little pieces in the mix that just come at you, you know, like in a really interesting way. I love it. I definitely think you would like the other two singles off this upcoming album. All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is your first pick. This is Sam Avion with Wisteria.
Right. My guitar teacher told me about this guy. My guitar teacher actually told me about another song that came out in 2021, I think, called Never Know. Mm-hmm. But this is the new single. And I also like it. And I picked it because it's hotter in terms of newer than Never Know. But
okay.
But yeah, Sam Evian, I don't really know anything about him. Just a little groovy little band. It is a band. There's like a drummer and a bassist and a little, they're not synth drums. They're real drums.
But I like the production. You know, it's good to see him doing new things since his water brand, you know?
Yeah. It's real brave of him to leave that comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know what, Brett? That's a real Howard joke. You just,
thanks.
I feel like Howard's here.
All right. I'm standing in for him.
Yeah.
I always thought Avion water tasted like shit. To be honest, I like this song a lot better than the water. I'm a smart water guy, a Fiji guy. All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Knower with Real Nice Moment. This is a Lewis Cole band, if you know him. He's kind of a genius, like drummer and weirdo musician.
This is cool.
Yeah.
What's the name of the artist?
Knower, like someone who knows things.
Okay.
Video real quick.
Yeah. These guys couldn't look more like they sound.
They're all recording like in a cool house.
Like an Airbnb they got.
They look like kind of like art school students. Definitely like musicians' music.
Yeah.
Lewis Cole has like a band, Clowncore, that is unbelievable, dude. Like if they're playing a show again, I'm dragging you to it because they blew my mind. Like at first you just think like, what the fuck? Like clown stuff has been done before, you know, like ICP or something. This is somehow so much more perfect than that. And the music is incredible. And the whole package is just really funny and good. And they freak out in these musical passages that you just kind of wouldn't believe. Like the way he plays drums sounds like an entire drum line is going at the same time.
Really?
Yeah. He has this style on drums that is kind of just shocking.
I love this song that you just, I thought it was great.
A lot of like advanced jazz stuff happening, but in a crazy fun way, you know?
That seems to be the modern take, like sing at like almost silent volume level, like sing just above silence, like you're almost whispering, jazz drum background, and then at least one instrument has to sound like it's a Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And that, but it works, it makes sense. Like a really cool sound.
Postmodern or something, you know, it's like a
synthesizing
a blend of all these things that we've grown up with, and at this point they just all go into the same pot.
I meant to tell you, I went to the Sphere last week and saw U2 do their concert at the Sphere, where it's like the
ball. Wow.
There's like video screens on half the wall and it's all like really intense.
Oh, I've been wanting
video
to do that.
Accompaniment. It was really good, way better than I thought it was going to be. But who was that Japanese artist I think you recommended that was like, had a lot of light and sound with the music? Do you remember this?
Cornelius, maybe?
Yes, Cornelius. Yeah. Cornelius.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was Japanese.
Yes. I love Cornelius.
Cornelius had an intense, I mean, a good, but like an involved.
We saw him live, show. Right?
Yeah, at Echoplex.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And there was like a bunch of LEDs behind him that were like coordinated with the music.
Yes.
And it really added a lot to the show and it was really interesting. And I was like, Cornelius has got to get to the Sphere. And so now now when I watch certain artists, I'm like, I want to see this person insane in the Sphere. Yeah.
I will say Queens of the Stone Age had an awesome light show that almost reminded me of like there were no screens. There are no big screens where you see them on screen. There's nothing that felt like it felt like old school in a way that was really cool and just really well timed with the music. And yeah, it was like they were in this big pyramid of light, and it was just felt like I was almost like at a 70s concert, what I would imagine like Queen playing. Like I've seen old footage of Queen, and there's just like a vibe to the lighting and everything that, I don't know, you just forget like what a great, how much great lighting contributes to a good show sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is your pick. This is Mega Bog with Cactus People.
Yeah.
Sounds like made up words.
This is a real deal.
Got a cool voice.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a little like Chrissy Hynde.
Yes.
Which so I'm gonna love.
I only heard this song today. You asked me to be on this show. I know there's hot picks, and I'm not always diligent about listening to new music. So I asked our friend that we've already referenced, Katie Plattner. I was like, give me some good songs that came out this year. And she sent me like five. And this was one of them. And I was like, this is gonna be my hot pick. So I just heard it today. So it's not like I'm in deep with Megapop, but I dug it.
That's
I was like,
good.
Oh, this is real cool. Yeah, there is kind of a Pretenders vibe vocally.
Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for like a lush synth bed.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It still works so well. Even though that's an old sound at this point, there's something about synths that always feel otherworldly, like when they're in the speakers, you know?
Yeah, they're just, I don't know, something cool about synths will always music.
Maybe it's, I wonder if that's a generational thing. Like, I wonder if there's a generation that would that hears a synth and thinks like, it sounds cheesy. old, stupid, and dated.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like every other generation loves synths, and every other generation is like, that's my dad's music.
Because we learned synths in association with like Blade Runner and deeply futuristic things. And like
yes, Kraftwerk. It was a new thing. It was like, oh, this is the future.
And the aesthetic always went like Kraftwerk or whatever was just like, we are from the future and this is what it sounds like.
Tangerine Dream doing movie soundtrack. But then I think like by the time like the movie Drive came around with Ryan Gosling, like, that had what sounded like an 80s synth soundtrack. Right. So I feel
and
like
it's retro synths. And it's still,
retro synths. Yeah. So I feel like every other generation, so like us and Gen Z love synth, the millennials maybe hate it or something.
Yeah.
I'm looping you in with Gen X. I'm sorry, Brett.
That's okay. I don't consider myself cuspy. I'm technically millennial, but I have older siblings. And so I
you skew Gen X.
I skew Gen X.
You were raised in the woods with Jet by Gen Xers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was fed a lot of Gen X taste, and I was identified with that. But okay, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is a plug for me. I scored the Destroy All Neighbors soundtrack with my buddy Ryan Kattner, also known as Honus Honus from Man Man. And I got permission to play a track on podcasts to promote it. So I figure I'll play the opening track. This is what opens the movie. And this is just called Destroy All Neighbors. You could call it the theme track. It is instrumental. It's very guitar heavy. See what you think. It's a lot of fun to make.
Ooh. I love this.
Picture this starting like a horror movie, you know? Horror comedy.
It's got the like sinister funhouse vibe.
Yeah.
That guitar is very cool.
Just wait. It's about to be a guitar explosion. There, leave them wanting a little bit more.
That's incredible.
Thanks.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a prog themed sort of a heavy metal movie with a lot of gore and comedy and stuff, so that's kind of on brand, and that was a ton of fun to make.
I love the sounds. It sounds like I don't know enough musical antecedents to say it. It's not quite Sabbath. It's like faster than Sabbath, like lighter. Like Sabbath is more bass heavy and stompy, and this is kind of like almost like if 80s metal was funny or something. Or like.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I tried to draw on a little bit of like Robert Fripp, but in I guess the way I would do it, where I wanted like a looping guitar part that was on an odd number with the beat, which is more of like in 4/4, and then the guitar loops every 3. So it creates this disjointed loop over the thing, and then it, you know, kind of explodes into a big.
Right. So it's got the weird time signature of a prog rock song, but the tone of it is like totally just like evil. Like
Iron Maiden,
like Motorhead, just like, we believe in Satan.
Yeah. And it's a little bit Halloween-y, or, you know, a little bit John Carpenter.
But there is like a whimsy to it, which I think that is like kind of the man sound a little bit too.
Yes.
It's like, there's like a rollicking jalopy sound to it. Like,
I love that.
Like a piano being played by like the Mad Hatter or something like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
It's got that kind of, funhouse vibe.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Well, look out for that.
I can't wait to watch that movie.
Yeah, it comes in January 12th, I think, on Shudder. So it's a lot of fun. Can't wait to hear what people think. And Will, thank you so much for joining me on the charts.
It was my pleasure as everybody in the Earwolf, CBB, and its descendants and spinoffs, of which this is one, knows I'm available for last minute fill-ins. That's my jam. That's how I, that's
in this
how
case, I asked you not so last minute, but then
not
the
so
last
minute.
Minute
I was going to be a guest.
Drop off was more last minute. So
I don't mean to diminish the invitation. I loved to get it. It was not a last, but I'm available for last minute things.
Okay.
I'm never insulted by the, you are our, somebody dropped. Can you do it? I love that call.
Honestly, one of the best traits. I would recommend if I had students somehow. If I was a life coach, I would say that's a good characteristic to have.
It's fun.
Don't be
to
one
be,
of those people that just doesn't text back because it's cool.
I'm a fast texter. You can ask anybody. Fast. I'll say yes or no quick.
Yeah. We all know we're staring at our phones all day.
Yeah. I'm there.
Yeah.
We know you're getting our texts.
Yeah.
That should be one of the lyrics in the Fall Out Boy thing should be like ghosted text or something.
Yeah.
Leaving me on red should be like one of the lyrics.
Will, anything you want to plug?
Let's plug our podcast. Screw it. We're just going to talk about the Beatles. We're doing new episodes in the new year. And we got exciting announcements that are going to be coming soon. So if you're a fan of the Beatles, and aren't we all, aren't we all in some way a fan of the Beatles? Check out our podcast. It is a fun, enthusiastic thing where four friends talk about all things Beatles. So that's my plug. Yeah. Check that out, please.
Where we don't get all the facts right.
Never.
We are unashamedly just in love with the band, and we love talking about them. And it's more fun, less technical.
More fun. Yeah. The opposite of Brett's lyrics.
Yeah.
But I mean, we get most of the facts right, but I'm just saying.
We have a real sizable catalog at this point. Like, you know, you can hear takes on every album.
And then some.
And then some solo albums, the whole shebang.
The partnership of John and Paul. We did a bass episode once. We did a four basses episode.
Yeah, which... that was a little fun.
Anyway, that's my plug.
Anyway, all right. Thanks so much. And I already did my plug. Watch the movie next month. Yeah. Sign up for CBB World, improvforhumans.com. Check out Howard's Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister and buy some of his merch. And we will see you, hear you, love on you next week, something like that on
Who
Charted.